I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, April 26, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, is it not? Things are changing. 83-year-old ladies observe that, you know, when they move from New York to sleepy little towns in Montana, for example, that, you know, when they did that in the 90s, seems like crime followed them. You know, they moved. One of the things they wanted to do was get away from crime, and they moved to a place where there was none, and then somehow it just followed them. So things are changing. It happens at glacial speed, though. And so most people don't realize, which I think is why, again, I always think of old school bad guy Aldous Huxley's observation that the charm of history and its enigmatic lesson consists in the fact that from age to age, nothing changes and yet everything is completely different. That's the way it seems to most people. But then there are folks who are hard at work manipulating things behind the scenes to make those changes happen in a way that seems plausibly deniable. And because it's happening at glacial speed, you know, changes take place over a generation or so. Most people think, it's just the way things are. It's progress. But I think there's more to the story, if you know what I mean. So what we're particularly concerned with on this broadcast lately is the subject of, as I would couch it broadly or generally, Ponderology and the Lucifer Effect. How is it that good people turn evil? Because I think we're seeing that in America today, for sure. I think this is a very real discussion. And so we're going to talk some more about that. I talked about it yesterday. And we will revisit some of that. If you read the things that have been written about this kind of, you know, again, I mentioned the books yesterday, you know, Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Sinclair Lewis, It Can't Happen Here, Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free, Christopher Browning's Ordinary Men, Stephen Ambrose's Band of Brothers. Most of the things Daniel Jonah Goldhagen has written, and on the list goes. If you read these books, the accounts of, I mean, we have some accounts of things that we take for granted. I think one of the things that came out of these fomented conflicts, the Great War and the other Great War that weren't so great, was the study of these things. And so, you know, you have, for example, the manipulation of human behavior by Albert Biderman and Herbert Zimmer, and you know, similar works for example, works by Edgar Schein, for example. I've talked about, you know, him. Yesterday I mentioned Serdar Popovic over at Harvard Kennedy School. Edgar Schein is over at MIT's Sloan School of Management. And so Edgar Schein is perhaps most well known, initially at least, for his book on coercive persuasion, a sociopsychological analysis of the brainwashing of American civilian prisoners by the Chinese communists, which is a very close cousin of Biderman and Zimmer's manipulation of human behavior. So you have this convenient study of these things that emerges out of these kinds of conflicts. You have the Milgram experiment, obviously. Is the Nuremberg defense really, you know, we were just following orders. Is that a real thing? So that's the Milgram experiment. Ash conformity experiment, similar. After World War I, you have John B. Watson's Little Albert experiment. Torturing and tormenting a baby to test Pavlov's theories on operant conditioning. Very sick thing. So we have the study of this, maybe we could call it menticide, generally. And what do you know, lo and behold, after the study of this, seems like we have people who have harnessed it. Menticide, a systematic and intentional brainwashing of a person's conscious mind. or the systematic effort to undermine and destroy a person's values and beliefs, as by the use of prolonged interrogation, drugs, torture, etc., and to induce radically different ideas. So it seems an odd coincidence, even though it's taken, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years or so, or more, let's call it 100 years, because, you know, coming out of the Great War, I mean, that was one of the things that, if we can believe what Norman Dodd told us after the Reese Committee, you know, that was what he described to G. Edward Griffin back in the 80s, that interview, talking about the banking cartel that wanted to radically change life in America and do so in a way that would forever alter life, that we would never return to a pre-1914 way of life. So what was that all about, and what was happening? Everywhere you look today, whether you agree with things, it's interesting to me. I think people would come to different conclusions if they were left alone when it comes to all of the propaganda. You know, I think everyone is conscientious. I remember being in grade school and junior high and being forced to watch videos or movies, little, you know, documentaries or whatever the heck they're called, about how bad the pollution problem was, and there's trash along the highways everywhere. And I remember thinking, well, my family's driven around a fair bit, but I don't remember seeing all of that trash. This is terrible. Where is that? I don't remember ever seeing that. You know, and this was the early days, the 70s, early days of the Club of Rome's push to say that man is his own worst enemy. Man is the enemy of the planet. The planet is the new minority, so you have to save the minority at the expense of the majority. It's all for the common good, right, dear comrades? Even if we have to exterminate ourselves, it's all for the greater good. So this mantra has been gaining ground, and I think people, mainly because of the propaganda, and we're just steeped in it. You can never get away from it if you have any of these devices on for any length of time. But I think people would make different judgments about things left to themselves. Something is happening in society, generally speaking. The demographic of the Amish is mentioned from time to time. Why is it that they seem so remarkably different? Why aren't they having the same problems? Why isn't the Anabaptist community at large suffering from the same decline of faculty and savagery and nihilistic bent? What is it that's different with these folks? You know, the Amish, the Hutterites, the Mennonites. The Anabaptist community doesn't seem to suffer the same erosion. Something or other is having a caustic effect on society in general in America. Ponderology and the Lucifer effect seem to be taking effect. What is happening? But it's happening at glacial speed, so no one really notices. Well, I think we're noticing. And if we don't get a hold of ourselves, it's going to be very noticeable pretty soon. You read those books that I mentioned, any of those books, and the moral of the story is it could happen anywhere. You know, that's Sinclair Lewis. You know, it can't happen here. Milton Mayer, they thought they were free. Browning, Ordinary Men. What happened? It was a friendly... I mean, I read from Stephen Ambrose, Band of Brothers recently. It sounds like every town in America. Before COVID, for example. People are friendly, there are social clubs and so on, and then something happened and all of a sudden the ability for people to socialize normally, the little old farmers getting together at the local coffee shop or whatever to, you know, chew the day's politics a little bit for a minute and commiserate, goes away, and then it's not long before bad things happen. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us to really examine and re-examine ourselves, because the moral of history seems to be, or the lesson of history seems to be, that it can happen to any of us, anywhere, anytime. And sometimes, regardless of vigilance, it's difficult when other people don't seem as concerned. I'm very concerned about this. I think we're seeing something that's about to begin to accelerate rapidly. I'll give you an example, something that I saw yesterday. Out driving around, nowhere in particular. Just a little, you know, I would say urban Montana, which is like rural just about anywhere else. So you would think that most of these people have their heads screwed on halfway straight. They have crazy ideas just like everybody else, but generally speaking, probably not quite as radical as some places, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of progressive so-called nonsense and so forth that's floating around. In other words, no crazy nonsense like pronouns, you know, things like that. Well, driving by one house in particular, I don't know what happened, who did what, did the house get tagged, or was it the homeowner? Who did this? I obviously am not aware, but just passing by a house that was lived in, not abandoned, I guess I should add, the words blank Trump were spray painted in giant red rattle can red across the front of the house. And I've never seen anything like that. And so if that can happen, I have no idea what precipitated that or how that came about. But if that can happen, and it's not a bad looking house, I mean, it's not the Taj Mahal, but it's not a bad looking house. So if that can happen, what can't happen? And that's what I've been talking about as far as this conflict is concerned. The prisoner's dilemma, Ponderology, the Lucifer effect, and pitting folks against one another. So something is happening. We'll talk more about that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are ours.
Happy days.
These days are ours. Share them with me. These days are ours.
Happy days.
These days are ours.
Welcome back. All right, I want to get back into this article and finish it. I think it's fantastic. I think you'll see why if I finish it. So I'm going to do that today, and then maybe we can talk about it. I think it's particularly interesting to reflect on this article in the Biden era. The example that I just mentioned in the last segment, perhaps being Exhibit A. So the article is Jonathan Wallace's Donald Trump and the Prisoner's Dilemma, published back in January of 2017 at the Ethical Spectacle, spectacle.org. The parallels, you know, if you ask the ardent Trump supporter and the ardent Biden supporter separately, and you just replace the names, both would agree. It's interesting how it's kind of the same psychological sort of derangement syndrome that's occurring, a lack of objectivity and a hysterical animosity toward the other, which, you know, speaking of books, this gets to that concept of clash of civilizations. You know, Samuel P. Huntington's Clash of Civilizations, and then Fukuyama's The End of History and The Last Man. I mean, are you picking up on a theme here? The End of History and The Last Man. Well, he didn't mean it that way. Okay, what did he mean by Fukuyama? What did he mean by our post-human future? Post-human future. Consequences of the biotechnology revolution, where he said biotechnology is the new, kinder, gentler eugenics. And that was published back in 2002, 20 years ago already. What did he mean? Maybe we should start taking these folks at their word. Take them seriously, you know, because things are changing. You and I know that the mRNA shots, probably not a good thing. I think it's a ticking time bomb. I think we're going to see, I mean, I've said this from the very beginning, I think we're going to see a mass casualty event, or several. People just going to fall over, you know, in droves. How can we possibly know the long-term effects? Well, I guarantee you somebody already knows. I guarantee you studies have already been done. Just because the public doesn't know. I mean, there was 20 years worth of push on that kind of technology before it was used. I guarantee you there was some study going on somewhere behind the scenes. And the fact that we weren't all privy to it should really inform our discretion, if you know what I mean. I think we're seeing some very dark and sinister things playing out before our eyes. So, what do you do? Again, in simple terms, it's virtue, morality, and religion. You know, you if you are a Christian type, you pray for leadership in Romans 13 sort of fashion. The Christian folks have been weaponized against themselves and each other and everyone else, with also infected with the same nihilistic bent. I think the devil is masterful at doing these kinds of things. God says you're supposed to pray for leadership. I would call it rulers in this instance or this context, more than leaders. Rulers. I think if we start using that term, similar to what I said about cognitive dissonance is a very sexy, fun term. If we just call it schizophrenia, oh my goodness, well that doesn't sound very nice. It paints it in a more honest light. But this is what's being socially engineered. So if we just use more honest language, maybe it will get our attention. And who knows what might happen. So if we're praying for rulers, then we're doing what God has exhorted as Christian folks. And if we're doing the opposite and we are engaging in a sort of nihilistic bent, then we are at risk of facing judgment. And I think the devil would like to see that come about. People bringing judgment upon their own heads, if that makes sense. Rather than the opposite, imploring heaven for, you know, guidance of rulers and leadership. Stick around, we'll be right back.
The truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
1-7-932-6419. Welcome back. All right, let's get back into this article and wrap this up. I think you'll see the striking similarities that I am seeing. I trust you will. All right, so for posterity's sake, I'll include the highlights and then we'll move forward. So Jonathan Wallace writes, the fascination of the prisoner's dilemma is that it is universal. Everything is a prisoner's dilemma. The prisoner's dilemma is a game theory exercise which, as Wikipedia ably explains, shows why two completely rational individuals might not cooperate even if it appears that it is in their best interest to do so. Each prisoner is given the opportunity either to betray the other by testifying that the other committed the crime or to cooperate with the other by remaining silent. The offer is, if A and B each betray each other, each of them serves 2 years in prison. If A betrays B, but B remains silent, A will be set free, and B will serve 3 years in prison, and vice versa. If A and B both remain silent, both of them will only serve 1 year in prison. In other words, the best outcome is obtained by a prisoner who betrays a companion who does not betray him. This is known in game theory as the sucker's payoff. So, it's important to understand what this is. And how it works. And once you understand it, as Jonathan Wallace observes, everything, at least in American society today, is a prisoner's dilemma. And that's not by accident. You know, it reminds me of Andrew Breitbart saying, I remember being in college thinking, is there anything else that we can read? Do we have to just read this rape lit curriculum? Can we read anything else? Wasn't there ever anything else written? So once you understand what the prisoner's dilemma is, and particularly the iterative prisoner's dilemma, then you start thinking that, isn't there any other plot line that was ever conceived? Just this, okay. Continuing, as a general theme or trend, commentators who have never heard of the prisoner's dilemma mostly agree that we are watching the decline of American politics into a spectacle of constant division and mutual demonization, a series of unending iterations of rounds in which both parties play the betrayal card. Or, as I would describe it, we're witnessing the emergence of Ponerology and the Lucifer effect. Maybe we should include Jordan Peterson, the little clip, the excerpt from the Jocko Willink interview. How a totalitarian society is actually formed. Interesting how things just seem to not cooperate. How a totalitarian state is actually formed is the title of the video. Still on YouTube, pretty amazing. How does it happen? I think we should play that. Maybe we'll do that. So continuing, the journals, Wall Street Journal's misreporting and misplaced confidence in what the tape showed of Donald Trump saying I'd rather than I indicates that journalists like many of us, including me, Wallace writes, have internalized the betrayal card. This is very provocative, very wisely observant and candid of Wallace. If we're all honest, we have to say the same thing. This is it right here. The Wall Street Journal's misreporting and misplaced confidence. And I know, you know, people say, well, what do you just think about it? You know, this is supposed to be a credible source, credentialed source. People trust the Wall Street Journal as reliable and fact-based. I know. You and I understand otherwise. You know, when Henry Kissinger publishes his latest piece on world order in the Wall Street Journal, obviously that's evidence to the contrary. I know, we know this, but I'm saying generally speaking, people trust this publication not to be the National Enquirer of 40 years ago. And this Jonathan Wallace, this example that Jonathan Wallace gives us is prima facie evidence of what he's describing. the transition, the conversion of society by way of the prisoner's dilemma, particularly from virtue, morality, and religion, generally speaking, to ponderology and the Lucifer effect. So the Wall Street Journal's misreporting and misplaced confidence in what the tape showed indicated that journalists like many of us, including me, Wallace writes, have internalized the betrayal card. We despise this president so much that it is not sufficient that he is ascertainably amoral or hateful. We seize on every indication, however poorly supported, that he is also stupid, senile, or crazy, as if his obvious and self-admitted defaults were not enough. And so, again, as I asked before, is not the same psychological bias, the same cognitive bias at work in the Biden administration? What if we ask this? Do the ardent Trump supporters and the ardent Biden supporters pray for the opposing party and candidate in Romans 13 sort of fashion? And even more than that, as things continue to decline in this spectacle of constant division and mutual demonization, a series of unending iterations of rounds in which both parties play the betrayal card, as Jonathan Wallace puts it, we should ask ourselves, what is left behind? The candidates may change, times may change, things may change, we may say, but is there a residue of ponderology and the Lucifer effect that remains? Is there something that's imprinted on us individually and perhaps even at a group level? I think that's kind of a rhetorical question. So continuing, Wallace writes, anyone who believes they are specially entitled to consideration no one else deserves is positioned to play the betrayal card many times a day. Isn't that exactly what's being engineered? Like I said yesterday about the entitlement, you know, every clique of society today in America is being groomed to believe that it has some unique entitlement to something or other. What do you suppose happens when you groom a large number of groups of folks? You pair people off into these groups that are sort of mutually exclusive to a large extent, and then you tell them all they're entitled to something, and then you throw that something out in the middle of them, what are they going to do? It's an episode of The Hunger Games, and along the way, you're indoctrinating them with this Machiavellian mindset that is very amoral, very irreligious, if you will, very ungodly, very ungracious, unmerciful, unkind, cruel, cunning, calculated. What do you suppose will happen? Are all of these groups going to show up in the perceived battle for this thing or resource or whatever and say, well, no, you go ahead. No, you first. No, no, really, I insist. Please. I'll wait. I'll wait my turn. Or could it be something much more savage, perhaps? Anyone who believes they are specially entitled to consideration no one else deserves is positioned to play the betrayal card many times a day. You know, and so the example here in view is Donald Trump, but I would say it's Joe Biden, it's Barack Obama, though in much more slick, polished language, NLP sort of fashion. Same kind of thing, same concept. The political candidate, the professional politician always betrays his base because it induces a form of Stockholm syndrome or deepens it. So anyone who believes they're especially entitled to consideration no one else deserves is positioned to play the betrayal card many times a day, cutting lines, demanding outsized amounts of resources or attention, energy vampirism, where employees, colleagues, and even adversaries spend outsized amounts of time dealing with emergencies generated by the individual. This is what we're being acculturated to in America today. This is just the norm. And so what happens when you have these kinds of energy vampires, as Jonathan Wallace describes it, masquerading among us, causing fires, you know, four-alarm fires, and everyone's spending outsized time, amounts of time dealing with emergencies generated by this small group of revolutionaries. I don't know about you, but it sort of reminds me of something. I feel like I've heard this somewhere before. Oh, I know. The Third World War. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. We shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then what happens? Then, everywhere, the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries. Will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude. Then what happens? Disillusion with Christianity, which is actually counterfeit Christianity, but different discussion, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out into the public view. That's the United Nations' true role in society. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. And then we will all be perfected in perfectibilist sort of fashion. Only perfected, obviously, is a relative term. Evil little minions, fully evil minions, that's what. So Jonathan Wallace continues, I haven't read The Art of the Deal. From its title, it sounded like a primer on negotiation and finding the middle ground. Isn't that what a deal is? Today, it seems more like The Art of Betrayal, a primer on how to yell, threaten, bully, and otherwise force the world to give you, the higher life form, anything you want. Trump's history of bringing litigation, I mean, think about it. Listen, again, I'm not trying to cast aspersions. I just want, can we make some observations? Can we compare notes? Am I missing something? Am I way off base? Or do we see in this example the ardent Trump supporting contingent, and for that matter, the ardent Biden supporting contingent, are they both not sort of entitled? Are they both not lacking in decorum and discretion? Are we observing proper decorum? That's one of the most remarkable things about the Constitutional Convention, for example, that I take away. Or, I don't know, the Federalist Papers. Maybe I'm missing something, but I think political opponents who are diametrically opposed and yet can maintain proper decorum and have a healthy public discourse is the height of maturity. And we seem to be plummeting the other direction in America, generally speaking. Wallace continues, Trump's history of bringing litigation, much of it groundless, is a confirmation. Every lawsuit presents the breakdown of a negotiation. Which, you know, speaking of the breakdown, the opposite of that I would offer Stephen Covey saying, here's how we make these things work when, you know, so that things don't degenerate to lose-lose ultimately. I think Covey was ahead of his time. Brilliant guy. Giving us some things. You know, I'm not trying to give him godlike status, but I'm just saying very prescient some of his work and a sort of warning against the defense against what we're experiencing now. Stick around, we'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. All right. Wallace writes, While finding the middle ground is an act of cooperation, bringing suit is an act of betrayal. Also, the drama and interest of the apprentice of surprise firings involved a series of betrayals. And we're normalizing this. And again, there is the element of, you know, a sort of pornographic addiction to tragedy for people whose lives are terminally boring otherwise. Not happy with my own life. You know, you have the anesthetization of folks through and the externalizing of their otherwise, you know, their energies that should be directed in more meaningful, substantial, and real life sorts of ways. You know, are people who watch Monday Night Football showing up at the local city council meeting or town hall meeting or et cetera, to make sure that bad things don't happen in their little sleepy little hamlet? So continuing, if you think about the subtext of the rather trite phrase "president of all the people," it suggests that politics could theoretically involve an all-cooperation strategy in an ongoing series of rounds of the prisoner's dilemma. The British concept of loyal opposition forms part of this same worldview. And I've been talking about how we are watching American Congress devolve to British Parliament and just its theatrical nature. The British concept of loyal opposition forms part of the same world of this same worldview, as does Tip O'Neill's skill at working with President Reagan to find common goals and outcomes. The betrayal virus that is decimating American politics, and I would say social life, has flared up repeatedly since independence. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams' vice president, played a major betrayal card, secretly hiring yellow journalists to disrupt or distribute false news about Adams and ensuring he would be a one-term president. Adams lost but avoided the sucker's payoff by betraying Jefferson in turn with his own yellow journalists and the prosecution of Jeffersonians under the Alien and Sedition Acts. The Age of Jackson, the time of the know-nothings, Congress's abandonment of Reconstruction, the Age of Populism and William Jennings Bryan, Roosevelt breaking with the Republican Party to run as an independent and hand the election to Wilson are all case studies of betrayals in American politics. In our century, the biggest betrayal move in our political prisoner's dilemma before now occurred in the McCarthy era when many innocent, trusting, and cooperative people, for example, the China hands, were libeled and driven from government. There are examples, but I believe that it's worsening these days, and I don't think that's by accident. I'll finish this when we come back, and then we'll go to the phones as soon as this is done. Stick around, second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.